It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Are you humming along? This is the Canadian Brass performing It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year. The group performs Sunday at the Sharon Lynn Wilson Center for the Arts in Brookfield. We preview holiday concerts around our state with the ones you want to highlight. Join in by calling 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Laurie Skelton is here, host of Afternoon Classics on WPR's News and Music Network and the All Classical Network from 1 to 3 weekdays, producer and host of Wisconsin Classical. Laurie, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
It's wonderful to be here on such a great topic. I was afraid we wouldn't have enough to talk about, and I'm delighted to see that already we've got too much music. This is fantastic.
This just makes your day. Too much music. So Canadian Brass, they're known as the world's most famous brass ensemble, such an important pioneer. Why are they so special?
Well, they've had since 1970 to prove it. They're virtuoso performers, but they bring a great deal of energy and fun to their concert programs. They've arranged or commissioned over 600 works, and they work in just about every style, certainly classical, but rag and Dixieland, Latin, big band, Renaissance motets, pop tunes, you name it, they do it. They offer a great deal of their music and their teaching manuals through Milwaukee's Hal Leonard Corporation, and they just make a point of finding every possible way to connect with anyone who wants to listen. Nothing is too high fancy or falutin, and nothing is too popular. They want all the music in their brass instruments.
You mentioned fun, and so this is Canadian Brass playing O Tannenbaum from Charlie Brown Christmas. Brass instruments featured differently in a small ensemble like this one rather than in a large orchestra?
I'm not saying you can't have different colors and different flavors of brass in a big orchestra or a big band, but when you've just got five instruments and it's one on a part, it's five different brass instruments, you get a chance to hear the individuals own distinct way of playing. Later in this arrangement, because they're trying to mimic Vince Guaraldi's piano trio, that trombone is using a wah-wah mute, which I cannot remember ever seeing in an orchestral setting. So again, there's this idea of playing around. The arrangement they've got here takes in all of the inner voices that would be on the piano, and there's a slight hint, again, of Dixieland as we get further into this arrangement. It's a real treat.
If you're just joining us, we're taking a tour of holiday concerts around the state, so many of them this month with the host of WPR's Afternoon Classics. Laurie Skelton is here. Bring on your favorite concerts. You go to 800-642-1234. Let's turn now to the Chippewa Valley Symphony Orchestra playing tomorrow at the Pablo Center at the Confluence in Eau Claire. And this is A Wreath of Carols from their 2020 virtual holiday concert. Laurie, Wreath of Carols, a compilation of holiday songs. How do performance groups add their own flair, their own flavor to common holiday songs?
Obviously, when you've got an instrumental ensemble and they're playing a carol, here we've got Bring a Torch, Jeanette Isabella. That's how we sing it in English. It's actually originally French. But if you've got instruments playing something that you would normally think of as being sung, you want to show off what the instrument does best. Here you've got strings, and they are treating it sort of like a string quartet or a string orchestra. Again, we're paying a little more attention to the inner voices and how they move. It highlights the instruments. It highlights this particular color of instrument. Arrangements are a wonderful way to learn about different instruments in an orchestra. Again, if you're used to hearing holiday songs, and I know we all have our favorites, if you're used to hearing them one way, it can sometimes be jarring if you encounter an arrangement you don't know. But again, it's a way to learn. It's a way to expand your listening experience. And it's also a way for others to share, this is how I hear a particular piece of music.
And the Chippewa Valley Festival Choir will be performing in this concert tomorrow. How special is it for local choirs and local orchestras to, you know, pair up, team up in a performance?
Especially after really weird COVID restrictions, when we could figure out how to play in a mask if you're a string player. There were workarounds if you were a wind player. Do you know how hard it is to sing in a mask?
Mm.
So I'm seeing a lot of holiday concerts where everybody is saying, the chorus is back with us this year. And yes, it's everybody is thrilled that more and more singers are making appearances on stage. When you ask how important is it for groups to work together, again, it's often a learning experience. If you are a choral singer who's never worked with a conductor who maybe uses a baton, if you're used to someone who conducts with their hands, that is going to be a new experience. It's a different way to follow music. And if you are two different ensembles coming together, you have to learn how to blend. You have to learn how to perform together. It's never just, did I hit the right note? It's, did I hit the right note in such a way that not only do I sound good, but I make everyone around me sound good as well.
Something that comes up for me, too, when I see these collaborations is just how taken aback I am about the wealth of talent in a community.
Wisconsin is, we have an embarrassment of riches when it comes to music. So many of us have experience at some point in our lives singing in a choir, and whether or not we want to actually get an instrument out and play in front of people, we know how to make music in this state. And for those of us who want to share it, it's... sky's the limit. It's been a while, but I have occasionally heard classical pieces of music played by polka bands. I love this state so much.
The Chippewa Valley Symphony Orchestra performing A Wreath of Carols. We're going to hear more of that. And we're going to hear more of Lori Skelton, our guide to this whirlwind holiday season of concerts. Lori hosts Afternoon Classics on WPR's News and Music Network. Call in with your questions or your stories about holiday music, concerts you've attended. 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy performed by the Beloit Janesville Symphony Orchestra. They perform the Nutcracker at the Janesville Performing Arts Center next weekend. And thanks to Janesville Access Television for this music selection. Be part of this conversation about holiday music around Wisconsin. Call 800-642-1234 with your thoughts. Lori Skelton is host and producer of the Afternoon Classics program on the WPR News and Music Network, and she's been with WPR covering classical music for nearly 30 years. So, Lori, let's talk about Tchaikovsky's The Nutcracker. And, I mean, wow, what a crowd pleaser. Such a holiday tradition.
We've got two different dance companies doing this in Madison. We've got performances in Kenosha and Lake Geneva. In addition to Beloit, Janesville, there's already been a couple of Nutcracker excerpts that have already been performed around the state. It's hard to imagine December without a Nutcracker somewhere.
Are there challenges or opportunities that orchestras encounter in performing the Nutcracker, like, you know, over 100 some years after it's written?
It's hard to believe, but when this premiered, the critics were not kind. Some of them objected to too many children on stage. Some objected to the fact that the prima ballerina doesn't dance until nearly the end of the work. If you're an orchestra that doesn't normally work with dancers, there is always that you're paired with people who are moving. Mm. And so if your conductor gives you a beat and suddenly the conductor slows down because the dancer is taking a little extra long time on that beautiful arabesque she's doing, and if you're not watching and you start the next piece of the music before the conductor tells you to, that's going to be a bit of a problem. If you've never worked with dancers before, orchestras and ensembles do need to remember that in this case, you're not the main focus. As much as we love the music, if you are accompanying dancers, you are accompanying dancers, and you need to be flexible because dance is a living art form, and if you practiced it one way and you get on the stage and you suddenly realize, oh, I'm going to have to adjust because the floor is a little different and I'm going to have to move a little differently, the music has to follow you.
You have to be in the moment.
Absolutely.
As a musician and just watching and taking in all those cues.
Yes.
I understand one of your favorite Nutcracker pieces is the Tray Pack, also known as Russian Dance.
Mm-hmm. The...
This is near and dear to my heart, too. This was my figure skating music
when
I was a tot. It was for my long program.
All right.
Hear the axle, you know, the double axle. Yeah, right.
Well, what I can hear, the reason I fell in love with this when I was like 6 years old, the first time I saw the Nutcracker live, was up until then, the ballet had been what I thought ballet was. Beautiful women in pointy pink shoes and handsome young men in tights and velvet jackets. And then all of a sudden, there are these guys wearing boots and fur hats, and they're not on their toes. They're leaping into the air, and they're kicking their heels 5 feet above the ground, and then they're squatting down, and they've got their arms crossed, and they're kicking their legs out straight, and they're not falling over. And that was when I realized that ballet is not just pretty. Ballet is athletic. Ballet dancers are incredible athletes. And if you use this for your figure skating music, that just hammers that home. This is not just about what pretty picture you make when you're standing still. This is about movement. Again, this is about interacting with your other dancers on stage. I do enjoy going to the ballet and sitting close enough to actually seeing the dancers sweat. It's a good reminder that this is a workout.
And I think it's a fine point to say that if you haven't seen the Nutcracker in years or decades, it's time to get reacquainted with it.
And there are Nutcrackers, and then there are Nutcrackers. I know that because some people stick with the traditional score. Some people scale it down for smaller groups, but they might do jazz arrangements. I believe Duke Ellington has done some of the Nutcracker music as jazz, and so you stick with the basic framework. You've got some room to play at this time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
If this is a season of giving, if this is a season of sharing, go ahead and share your musical traditions.
Laurie Skelton, our guide to holiday concerts this month, host of Afternoon Classics, veteran member of the Milwaukee Symphony Chorus. You can join in on your holiday favorites, 800-642-1234. This is the Sheboygan Symphony Orchestra playing Handel's Messiah in 1998. So the orchestra is in its 104th season, Laurie?
Yes.
That's just amazing.
As you say, we have a great wealth of music in this state. Not everybody is on stage every week or every other week, but community orchestras around the state have had this incredible track record of keeping music live in front of people, as you say, for over 100 years in some cases. There is a deep love of music. And mm-hmm. what better way to enjoy it than, I know my neighbor who plays the viola. I'm going to go watch her and play with her orchestra tonight. What could be better?
Oh, and the Sheboygan Symphony Orchestra performs Messiah Returns on Saturday at the Stephanie H. Weil Center for the Performing Arts. And at the title, A Nod to Concerts Returning After COVID Restrictions. So I really love that the word returns tacked
yes.
onto Messiah. Yeah.
We're getting there.
Mm.
I wish I could say everything was back to normal. Some orchestras are still being cautious. They don't want to extend themselves too much. Again, if you're working with singers, everybody has their own concerns and their own protocols about how to work with their choruses or work with singers. I just spoke to Beverly Taylor from the Madison Symphony Chorus about preparing her chorus to sing the Missa Solemnis in Madison earlier this spring. It's one of the hardest pieces for a chorus to sing, and they had to do most of their rehearsing still on Zoom, still through masks. So everybody is being careful. I know some orchestras around the state got a late start to their season. I'm assuming because part of the problem was they didn't have enough people behind the scenes to get a concert together. So everybody is dealing with a loss of the workforce.
Lots of workarounds too.
Yeah, we're still figuring it out. The lovely thing is, I know some ensembles who did embrace the virtual concert option are still offering it for those who aren't quite ready to be out in the community. Check websites and see who's going to give you the opportunity to stay in your matching pajamas and watch a concert.
Let me ask you this. You know, Handel's Messiah is deeply spiritual, composed in the 1700s. Why is that why it's so enduring? Because it is so spiritual and moving?
How much time have we got this morning? Why has Handel's Messiah endured? It has a wonderful message. It's in three parts. The first part gets us through the birth of Christ. The second part gets us through the Passion of Christ. And some people say, well, why would you play that at Christmas time? Well, if you don't play that, you don't get the Hallelujah Chorus. Mm. And then the third part talks about basically how we as humans go forward after that life. And what does it mean to be a spiritual person? I think having Handel's Messiah in all of the different choruses, all of the different ways they present the message, they present the story, it, like so many things with music, it tends to stick with you a little bit longer if you've sung it. Or if you've heard the story in music earlier.
Let's just pause there and hear Handel's Messiah performed by the Sydney Philharmonic Choir at the Sydney Opera House. We're with Laurie Skelton, our guide. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. Стало собі ще питати господаря, викликати, вийди, вийди, господаря, буде за на кошару, на мамочки покалились, а ямочки радились. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is the Ukrainian carol, Shedrick. We know it as Carol of the Bells, though, performed here by London's Philharmonia Orchestra. Give a shout out to your local symphony or holiday concerts on your calendar. Bring your questions about holiday music to the conversation. Join in by calling 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Laurie Skelton hosts Afternoon Classics on WPR's News and Music Network, stays with us. So, Laurie, this month, Ukrainian singers performed Carol of the Bells at New York's Carnegie Hall. And I wasn't aware of the connection to Ukraine until I saw all this news coverage. How does that understanding, that history, make us think differently about this music?
It's wonderful when something gets arranged. But sometimes something gets lost in the translation, and this is a perfect example. Carol of the Bells is how we know it for the most part in America, because when we sing it in English. But it is often referred to as the Ukrainian Bell Carol. And when you're wondering about, does representation matter? I think you just answered your own question. You didn't know that this was a Ukrainian tune until suddenly everybody is talking about these incredible kids. They were rehearsing in bomb shelters in Kyiv. What a way to remind yourself that you are a part of a group, that you're not alone. I think they had to use the lights on their iPhones in order to see their music. But they wanted to sing. They wanted to do something to be a group, to be together, to raise their spirits, and to do something positive in the middle of all of this. Classical music is certainly having to address this. Tchaikovsky's Second Symphony has been known for years as the Little Russian Symphony because when Tchaikovsky wrote it, Little Russia was the nickname for Ukraine. And there is now a push in classical music circles to change the subtitle from Little Russian to the Ukrainian Symphony.
Wow, that is so fascinating. And it's also interesting how this got the English lyrics, after the Ukrainian composer had created it. And then, then it becomes this Christmas staple in the U.S. And when you look at how things are borrowed and shared and represented, that is just really fascinating.
You do want to share. You always want to learn and add new things. But you can't break the rules until you know the rules. Mm. So always, when you are approaching a new piece of music, find out where it comes from, find out where it started before you take it forward into your own arena. Go Tell It on the Mountain is a great example. I was singing that when I was 5 and 6 years old. I didn't find out that was a Negro spiritual until I was a teenager. And I think I even had to leave the country to have somebody tell me, oh, you do know that was a slave song originally. And no, I didn't. But it's a wonderful Christmas piece that comes from an incredible history that I had to have somebody tell me about. I had to learn where that came from. And it stays with me to this day.
Are holiday favorites typically the ones performed by classical groups in Wisconsin that are on these programs for holiday concerts? Or are musicians, throwing out some new music, some new holiday music? What do you see out there?
It's one of the reasons why I'm so pleased that we get to bring the Eau Claire Master Singers Lessons and Carols concerts to our Sunday afternoons in December. They focus on contemporary arrangements and new pieces. They even commission new works for the holiday season every year. So later today, I'm going to be playing a Christmas piece by a guitarist named Brandon Yip that he wrote about 15 years ago. It doesn't have words, but it does have a meditation on the season for solo guitar. So yes, we can go back hundreds and hundreds of years to enjoy holiday music, but new pieces are being written all the time, which is a great reason to go to a live event. Even if you don't really know the ensemble or who's performing, if there's a chance you're going to hear something brand new, who knows, in 5 years, that may be your favorite holiday piece.
Lori Skelton, our guide to holiday concerts during this month, host of Afternoon Classics and Wisconsin Classical and WPR. You can join in along the way, 800-642-1234. So I understand one of your favorite carols is Lulaja Yazunu. Appreciate about this song?
When I was growing up, I knew one man who spoke a little Polish. And to my child's ears, the language sounded a little harsh, a little rough. And when I first moved to Milwaukee in the mid-80s, I found myself hearing that carol. It's a lullaby to the baby Jesus. And I was so charmed with how gentle and loving it was. And I heard it everywhere. It was delightful to me going to the south side of Milwaukee and just hearing this music coming from shops or from somebody's living room window. The idea that this is our tradition, and I just sort of stumbled on it by accident. It's a beautiful song, as you heard. I've since discovered Polish is a beautiful language.
And you heard the language in a whole new way.
Absolutely.
The song.
And it's, I still get a lump in my throat when I hear it. It reached out across so many aspects of my life and other lives and tied them together. And it's not December for me until I hear that.
Well, let's bring on a call. Allison in Racine. Allison, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I wanted to just share an experience I had recently. My son and I went to see Harry Connick Jr.'s holiday concert in Milwaukee at the Riverside Theater. And it was such a wonderful way to kind of open our holiday time. And the setting, the Riverside Theater, is so beautiful. And Harry Connick Jr. is just an incredible performer. He is such a talented musician and band leader. His skills on the piano are phenomenal, and he showcased those. He had a group of string musicians from the Milwaukee Symphony performing with his band, and it was wonderful. It just totally ran the gamut of emotions, which I think any good concert, especially a holiday concert, should do, from joy to kind of more quiet reflection all through his music and performance. And he's so good at drawing the audience in and making you feel like he is performing just for you. It was absolutely wonderful.
Allison, I just so appreciate your description of the concert. And Lori, I'm sure you too. This just fills your cup.
Can I brag a little?
Yes, please.
I've had the opportunity to do some Pops concerts with the Milwaukee Symphony and Chorus at the Riverside Theater. And the one I will never forget was I got to sing backup for Rosemary Clooney. And I have this very strong memory. The lights went down except for the spotlight on her, and she turned at one point, and so her face was in profile as she was singing to the upper seats. And I think it was one of the last concerts she did. And it was an amazing evening. Again, what our caller just said about good performers, they'll be standing on a big stage and it's a big auditorium. But if you feel like that performer is giving that performance just to you, yeah, that is an amazing way to experience. And also what she said about Harry Connick, that it was strings and it was the band and it was a mix of things, because we all celebrate the holiday season differently. Some of us really appreciate the running around and the lights and the excitement. And some of us, especially if you're musicians, some of us get to Christmas Eve and it's like, can I just have 2 hours when it's quiet? So it's when someone can bring all of that into one performance, that is incredible.
We have WPR classical music host Lori Skelton, our guide to this holiday concert season. And this is Edelweiss, performed by the Johann Strauss Orchestra out of the Netherlands. Still time to highlight your local symphony concerts that have moved you. 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we're talking about holiday concerts around our state. And musicians are slated to perform all around. Call in with your questions, your thoughts during this tour of holiday concerts, 800-642-1234. Lori Skelton is host of Afternoon Classics on WPR's News and Music Network and is our guide. Let's bring Tom now in Maguanago. Tom, hi. What would you like to bring up?
Hi, I was just listening to the show earlier, and you were talking about the Nutcracker, and I've been fortunate enough to work with the Milwaukee Ballet and work with a lot of their dancers, got to be friends with a lot of them, and you're right, I mean, they're just incredible athletes and amazing young people, and I wanted to point out, too, that the Milwaukee Ballet, with their international troupe, I mean, they're from all over the world. they'll be performing the Nutcracker 14 times between now and Christmas.
Wow.
And if you can imagine being on stage, and it's the full Nutcracker, and they have their, you know, they have the Milwaukee Ballet Orchestra, so it's a really extraordinary show. And from what I understand, too, they're trying to raise money to redo the show next year. With new costumes, because this show has been going on for 30 years now. So just wanted to point that out and just say how much I admire these young people. And keep in mind, ballet dancers only last in the business till about their late 30s.
Mm. So
it's an amazing group of young people, very dedicated.
Tom,
and the music is unbelievable.
Tom, yeah. I really appreciate you just putting into context the intensity of these performances and the number of them and the toll that can take on a dancer and a performer, Lori.
Was backstage for a Nutcracker rehearsal in the early 90s in Milwaukee. And I'm watching these dancers, and I mean, they are leaving nothing on stage, or they're leaving nothing off the stage.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is out there. And then they come off stage, and immediately they'll go to the bar and start moving around again, or they'll be stretching. And I asked one of them, "Don't you want to take a breather?" And the dancer looked at me like I was crazy and said, "When you come to a stop sign, do you turn your car off?" No, you keep the engine running until the last bit of applause.
Wow.
It's that kind of intensity for a ballet dancer to perform. The minute you get there, you don't stop.
Well, we're going to turn our attention now to Latin Baroque style. This is Tomas de Torreón y Velasco, A Este Sol Peregrino, and it is in the Latin Baroque style performed by the Boston Camerata. Madison Bach musicians slated to perform this and other selections at their 12th annual holiday concert Sunday in Madison. Latin Baroque style of music different from traditional Baroque style?
The first piece you played from Handel's Messiah, when we were listening to the strings going, you know, steady, steady, steady pace, they were playing a fugue, which is a hallmark of Baroque music. Baroque music, the ensembles for the most part were small. A lot of the music would be carried by string instruments anchored by an organ or a harpsichord, and there is this feeling of forward motion to it. It got started in Europe, and when the Jesuit missionaries came to Mexico, came to South America, they brought that musical tradition with them, but they also wanted to incorporate indigenous music into that Baroque style. So Latin American Baroque has this incredible collection of great music that I'm sorry to say we don't get to hear as often. I'm thrilled Madison Bach musicians are doing this. A lot of the music was written for the Great Cathedral in Pueblo, Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
One of the pieces they're going to be doing is a piece called Xicoche, which comes from a Portuguese-Mexican composer, Gaspar Fernandez, and it's sung in the indigenous Nahuatl language. Linda Ronstadt recorded it on her 2000 album, A Merry Little Christmas. And so we get a chance to hear an actual Baroque group pick up this piece of music that that comes to, I think it was written around 1604. And it's going to be a lovely concert. Here again, we have a European musical tradition that got brought to the New World and was given its own flavor. What you just heard was a villancico,
okay,
which is a type of Spanish song that really took off in the New World. You can hear, again, the infectious energy, the joy in it. It really resonated with everyone who came to that cathedral.
Let's turn our attention to Lessons and Carols, and I know that you have a special place in your heart for Lessons and Carols with a special broadcast. This is a compilation of different holiday songs, and here is Once in Royal David City by the King's College Choir.
Thank you.
And that audio from BBC. Laurie, tell us the history of Lessons and Carols.
It started in 1878 when one of the cathedrals in Cornwall did a carol service on Christmas Eve. 2 years later, they added the lessons, 9 readings that trace Christ's coming through the birth in Bethlehem. So the first Festival of 9 Lessons and Carols at King's College, Cambridge, which is broadcast around the world, it was held on Christmas Eve in 1918. The college's new dean had been an army chaplain, and he wanted to do something to celebrate the end of the war as well as the holiday season. And so on Christmas Eve at 9 o'clock in the morning, you can turn on Wisconsin Public Radio's Music Network and literally join with listeners around the world to hear the live broadcast from King's College. And yes, once in Royal David City is how it opens. But just like Eau Claire, King's College commissions new music every year, so you'll never know what you're going to hear.
Well, we're going to land on Unsilent Night. That's a great place to end here. So next week in Milwaukee, the Unsilent Night event will take place. Here's what it can sound like.
1, 2, 3, play.
Here we go. Now again something.
Okay, Laurie, what in the world is this?
You ever gone caroling in your neighborhood? What this is it's something that Present Music did last year, and I thought it was a way to get around COVID restrictions. They had an audio track on their phone or a boombox, and they played this audio track as they were walking through Milwaukee streets. And you had this audible soundscape, this huge citywide audible sculpture. And it's, yes, it might sound a little bit dissonant, and if you don't know what's going on, it may look a little bit weird, but it was a way to get people together, but still be outside, still be safe, and to create something that you'll never hear again because it's so unique to every performance. Oh. They're doing it again this year. Present Music is doing Unsilent Night again, and I think it's a great idea.
Laurie, thank you for joining us, and all the best with the music this season.
Oh, thank you all. And everybody who's performing, hang in there. Keep taking your cough drops.
Laurie Skelton, host of Afternoon Classics on WPR's News and Music Network. For a listing of holiday events coming up or to find events outside the holiday season, you can find it WPR's events calendar year-round by going to wpr.org/events. And this is Once in Royal David City by the choir of King's College, Cambridge, England. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.